Today we're talking about, we'll be talking about sacrifice. The widow in the story sacrificed and gave back everything that she had to the Lord. And Jesus noticed that. And he knew that. He knew that she didn't have anything else left at home. She gave everything. Let's take a moment and just pray for this time as we look at God's word together. We're so thankful, Lord, for your word that is living and is active in our lives. I thank you for the opportunities in this congregation, Lord, to share a word that's on our hearts. I thank you for that special time that we have to just speak out the verses that are on our hearts, that they might benefit and encourage others. We pray this morning for the scriptures that we look at, may they challenge us and teach us and comfort us and encourage us, and may we, Lord, be open to the work of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we know that you want to continue good work in us, so we pray that we will just open our hearts and minds this morning. Thank you for all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as we continue this journey through the Lenten themes and stories, I keep thinking, wow, these are really heavy themes. This is really deep stuff that we're talking about. And so when I came to this next week's theme of sacrifice, I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can preach another heavy sermon on this. So I think that, you know, when we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, we think about him giving his life for us. And that Jesus' sacrifice brought healing and peace to us and eternal life. I think we're just going to have to just put on our big girl pants, big boy pants, and just dig into a little heavy topic this week. Next week, Jake is going to preach on anointing. So that one will be a more soothing topic, depending on how he decides to handle it, right, Jake? So the word sacrifice brings to mind, to me at least at first look, kind of brings to mind to me like pain and giving things up and just, right, it feels like a loss of something to gain something else. And if you really think about the word, it just comes from a Latin word, two Latin words that mean to perform sacred rites. So sacrifice is more than just pain and giving things up. It's actually making things sacred or doing things or giving offerings to God. I'm almost ready for the first verse then. In the Old Testament, we see that the animals were sacrificed for the atonement of sin. In the New Testament, Jesus, like Jesus often does, changes the complete practice, the complete idea of sacrifice by doing away with the need of sacrifice of animals. But then he calls us to sacrifice in new and different ways. We're going to start with reading Hebrews chapter 6. Do I need to push something? Is that what I'm... Okay. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. So last week I realized it might be helpful for you to have the verses up on the screen. So hopefully the letters are big enough for us to read them. And so let's read these verses together. Hebrews 7, verse 26. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of other people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So the idea of sacrifice from the Old Testament to the New Testament completely changed because the sacrifice that Jesus made for himself, he sacrificed himself for our sins and sins of all the people, and so it eliminated the need for animal sacrifices. When Jesus redefines sacrifice, it becomes a complete and full concept, and it lines up with Jesus' example. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, we read, and this is the one that's in the booklet, then he called the crowd to him. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? So Jesus is saying here that sacrifice is giving up our lives to follow Jesus. Giving up, in many ways, what we think life is to really live. To deny ourselves, our general tendencies, our default ways of being, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. To not go after fame or riches or pleasing ourselves, but to lose our life in Jesus and for the gospel. So we have to reorganize our lives to give first place to Jesus and our service to God. To say to God, your will be done in my life. In Mark 12, I'm going to start reading a little earlier than this verse. One of the teachers of the law came and heard people debating. And noticing that Jesus had given a good answer, he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no one but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. So not only did Jesus replace the burnt offering and sacrifices with his own sacrifice, but now he's saying that loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself, is better than all those burnt offerings and sacrifices. So the tendency might be, well, Jesus did this, but let's just do some more just in case, right? So Jesus is saying, so even beyond the fact that I already replaced it, here is what God is requiring of you, to love your neighbor as yourself. In sacrifice, we make the things of God sacred to us. We love God, we love our neighbors, as we love ourselves, as an act of obedience to God. Sacrifice is way more than giving up a few things for Lent. It is a whole orientation towards committing ourselves to love deeply and to engage with God and to engage with people in ways that sacrifice our self-centeredness. Our default setting is to think of ourselves, how we're affected, how we feel, how much things are going to cost us. Let's face it, we're selfish. Sacrifice simply means that we consider what God wants us to do, even if it is not what we want to do. Sacrifice is putting God and others before ourselves. In the story of the widow's offering this morning, she was the one who gave it all. We can't sacrifice just a small piece of ourselves. We have to sacrifice all of ourselves. And our worship is a sacrifice. In Psalm 107, it says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy." And Hebrews has the same idea. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For such sacrifices, God is pleased." So we're expanding this morning our idea that sacrifice is just suffering and pain, right? We're adding the idea that sacrifice means love. It means being selfless. It means loving God and loving others. It means surrendering to God. That also is sacrifice. And here we add that worship is sacrifice. When we take our eyes off of ourselves and we worship God, that is a sacrifice of our idea of who is in the center of our universe. Again, I just want to say, we are selfish people. Sacrifice means that we're turning away from ourselves. We're denying ourselves. Romans 12 talks about being a living sacrifice. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, and in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." The suggestion here is that our sacrifice, our willingness to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, is worship to God, is the way that we honor God. Verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." 4, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Our sacrifice to God, our choices that we make in our lives, our words and our actions, are made sacred by us sacrificing, by us turning away from ourselves and turning to God. And that is a choice that we have to make over and over and over again. I heard a pastor say one time that we're talking about living sacrifices, which means that sacrifice is always trying to crawl off the altar, right? And I've never forgotten. I think I heard it probably 20 or 30 years ago. He said that. It is a choice for us to stay there, to continue to choose to honor God by choosing to make our actions and our words and our lives a sacred offering to God. We want to crawl, jump, run off the altar, but we have to choose to stay there, even when we don't want to. And as we stay there, as we choose to stay as a living sacrifice, as we choose to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God, we, in this verse, it says that our minds are transformed, that our minds are changed. And as our minds are changed through our sacrifice, through our intentions to honor God, we will be able to better understand God's will. We will be better able to understand His good and pleasing and perfect will. We will be renewed to see things differently. We will acknowledge that it's God's creation. We were made to worship God. We were made to belong to a body of believers. It's interesting that these verses that talk about living sacrifice are followed immediately by these verses that talk about being part of the body of Christ and being part of many members. Yesterday at the event that we went to, Sandra, Janine, and I, it was a strange body of believers, right? It was all women, but some of them were speaking Spanish, some of them were speaking Indonesian, some of them were dressed up, some of them were wearing jeans, some of them, it was very unique, and our whole gathering was in a mixture of three different languages. We had different people standing up and speaking, and it was a sacrifice in some way for everybody to be there, because not everything that was spoken was something that you could understand. Betty knows what I'm talking about. She was part of Norristown New Life for many years. She knows how it feels when somebody is speaking in Spanish y no puedes entender nada de lo que están diciendo. And you can't understand a thing that they're saying. And we tried to balance it out. We tried to, when a woman gave an Indonesian testimony, we tried to have the story translated into English. But everybody sacrificed to be part of that temporary body of Christ yesterday. And because everybody sacrificed to be there, and they were seeking to honor God by being there and seeking to become a body for that day, it meant that our experience went deeper. Our minds were, God was able to transform our minds. And it was, for me, and I heard Sandra talking very excitedly too about it, so I was happy to hear that. It was a transformational experience because of those little sacrifices we made to not be completely in the loop, but to trust that God was doing a special thing in another language, and we were okay with that. And that happens, right? That happens every week at church. Nobody comes into the service, or nobody who's part of a church has things exactly the way that they want it to be. I used to tell people at Norristown New Life, because they complain about stuff, and I said, listen, I only get my way about 10% of the time. And they would laugh, like, but you're the pastor. I said, but you don't understand. We have two other pastors on the team, and then we have all these elders and other leaders. I said, nobody gets their way, right? That's the way church works. We all sacrifice a little bit to be together as one body. We think of ourselves, we don't think of ourselves more highly than we should, but we think of ourselves with sober judgment. And we say, well, maybe today somebody else needs to receive this in this way, and I will sacrifice this time so that they can benefit. All right, trying to get back on track here. All right, this is the last verse that I have this morning. And then you'll have an opportunity to respond, to add, to change or correct whatever the Spirit is leading you to do. 1 Peter 2:4 says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As we come to Jesus Christ, the living stone, who was rejected by humans, who sacrificed himself so that we could be set free, so that we could be free from sin. As we come to Jesus, we also are like living stones, and we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. As each of us, as all of us, as we together offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The only way that church works, the only way that a body believer works, the only way that we can be built together into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood is if we choose to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow Jesus' example. For some, the word sacrifice is all about death. But for us, sacrifice is like a seed that is planted and has to die so that life can emerge. Sacrifice is about Jesus dying on the cross so that he could conquer death once and for all and bring life to everyone. Christ's ultimate sacrifice for us motivates us to sacrifice ourselves for others. Now, what say you? When you heard that we were going to preach on sacrifice today, what did you hear? What would you like to add?